Hello, everyone. I am not going to preach today. I was with Anthony a while back, and we wanted to do some study on faith. And I feel like I don't know enough to preach about it. But I am going to sit down up here, and I'm going to share with you some of the things I did find. And in searching out of it, I found in the looking up how many times it was mentioned in the Bible. I got notes here that I have to. Love was mentioned 310 times. Belief was mentioned 248 times. And faith was mentioned 244 times. So I think the importance of it, just because, you know, the book and the Bible is about Christ, and it's His Word. And usually when somebody talks about something a lot, it usually means a lot to them. And so I think this is an important subject matter to talk about. So before I start, ask God to intervene. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, come before you to talk about a subject I don't know enough about, but it's something that is mentioned a lot in your word. And I ask that you forgive me for not seeing that and paying more attention to it in the past. And I pray that you will speak to everyone here through your word so that they don't hear what I say, but they hear what you have to say about it. In Jesus' name, amen. How about going to Revelation 14:12? I'd like to get started on that, because I know a lot of times a lot of people here in our denomination like to talk about Revelation, like to talk about Daniel's, kind of like two of the books that I think sometimes we take a lot of pride in the knowledge that we have about those books and our understanding of it. But in there, in Revelation 14:12, it says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Now there it says the faith of Jesus. Now look in there, found a lot of other places it says faith in Jesus, faith through Jesus. There's a lot of, so is there, how much difference is there in faith of Jesus compared with faith in Jesus, compared with faith through Jesus? I haven't gotten into the study on that too much yet. I think there is probably more to this than what a lot of us really give a lot of thought to. I looked up concordance, and concordance says faith, the word faith, the definition of it is conviction. Conviction that God exists and is the creator and the ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of eternal salvation through Christ. The word itself, just without invoking God's name on it, it is just a conviction of the truth of anything, a belief. And so if it's a belief, I thought, well, maybe I should look up the word belief and see what that means. The word belief is to think to be true, to be persuaded of, to give credit to, confidence in. So there is a similarity between the two words, at least from my perspective and how I look at it. But faith is something that that is a conviction. How many of us are convicted of the truth? How many of us are convicted of what we say we believe in? And I had to look at that, and I said, interesting. And what is faith? How do we get it? Talked about that in Romans 10:17. So faith comes by the hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. So if we really want to know about what faith is and what God's talking about when we read it about faith, we have to get into the word. And I know some people I've talked to several people and looked online, and there's a lot of people that think Christ is coming really soon. And so if Christ is coming soon, I think that the patience of the saints are those that have the faith of Christ. I think we should know what that is if we claim to be part of the membership of those who are going to go to heaven with Christ. So how much do we know about what it means to have the faith of Christ? And where does it come from? Hebrews 12:2 states, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So it comes, it's a gift that we get from God, from Jesus. Now, I think maybe it'd be good if you look that up. I'll give you time to kind of look it up and finish that up. It says, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So here we're talking about Christ as the author and the finisher, and it is a joy. And it also involves the cross. And what's the cross? The cross is works. Interesting. Because there's other places in there that says, we're saved by faith and not by works. But works is involved in it because we're going to be judged by our works. So we can't really do away with works because it's tied with faith. And sometimes that can be a interesting subject matter, and how do you distinguish that? Well, if we're saved by faith and not by works, so why is works important? Let's go to James 2:26. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Remember, John the Baptist was in prison, and he was having some doubts whether Jesus Christ was the Savior or not. So he sent some men to go talk to Jesus and ask, Jesus, are you really the Savior that John the Baptist thought you were? He's starting to have some doubts. This is kind of a paraphrase. And Jesus says, go back to John the Baptist and tell him the things I've said, and tell him the things I've done, and the things that you've seen. So basically, he says, go back and tell John the Baptist all the works I have done, and let him make that decision for himself. So Christ didn't brag on myself. He didn't confirm that. He said, just look at my works. And God says he's going to look at our hearts and he's going to judge us by our works, not by what we say. Right? So we go back to James here. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. But John, but he says, I'll show you my faith by my works. So they're tied together, and you can't separate them. It's a matter of how you, which comes first, I guess would be the way I look at it. Which comes first? The works come first or the faith comes first? Still in James 2, 2:21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Then he was justified by works when he offered Isaac his son to the altar. Then on 22, it says, do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. So maybe that kind of tells me you can't separate your faith from your works. So if you have faith and you're not doing works, then I think there's an issue. And there's... Then we go to 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. What's your trial of faith? It says that your trial may be, that your trial of faith being much more precious than of gold. That precious, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So if you have faith and you have trials, your trials will be, your faith will be tried by your works, by what you do. We look at the apostles. Let's look at the one. Let's look at, you tell me who it was. He talked about he went to a place and he got stoned because he was preaching the word and he got stoned. So he got up from there and he went to another place and he got stoned again and left for dead. So he got up from there and he went to another place and he got falsely accused of things. So he got up from there and he went to another place and he got imprisoned for trying to preach the truth. If that isn't trials for trying to do the work that God has set him through, and we say he had a lot of faith, how strong would we say his faith would be if the first time he went to preach the truth and somebody started mocking him and started criticizing him, and he said, I had enough of this. I'm not going through this nonsense. What kind of faith would we say? And what if we... would we say he would have just a little more faith if he put up with the mocking and the criticizing and got stoned to death? I don't know if any of you... I knew a guy that once got beat up and left in a ditch and they because they thought he was dead. If they thought he was still alive, they probably would have beat on him some more. And it took him several weeks to recover, to be able to get out of the hospital, I should say. And then a couple more weeks after that. So, and he was just hit by fists. Now, if you think of a person was hit by stones, how much damage that would do. And the bruises that he would take. And yet he continued to preach. And I thought, man, I don't think I would go out in town and preach if somebody started throwing stones at me. I think I would run away before I got hit enough to be, for them to leave me for dead. So I come up kind of short on my faith in that area. I don't think I have that much faith. They go to 1 Corinthians. A lot of people go to that chapter 13, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and this is talking about the gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that God has sent us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us his gift. And some of these gifts, one of those gifts is faith. He says, and though I have the gift of the prophecy and understand all mysteries, and though I have faith so that I could remove a mountain or, you know, and have not charity, I have nothing. So if I have enough faith, that, like Christ said, he went to the fig tree and it didn't have any figs on it, so he had enough faith to curse it. The tree died. He had enough faith to heal people because it takes faith. How many places in the Bible does it talking about faith that says, your faith has healed you. Go and sin no more. Your faith has healed you. Get up and walk. So it's faith that does all these things, healing all these items comes through faith, but it says if you can do all those things, if you have enough faith to tell the mountain to go jump in the lake or something, you know, go in the ocean and be gone with you, if you have enough faith of that, but you don't have charity, what's charity is love. So if you don't have love, even having all that faith is still not enough. You got to have love. And I brought this one up, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. Know ye not that you own yourself and that Jesus Christ is in you, except be you. In other words, we're supposed to see if we have faith in us or not. That's for us to judge and not for somebody else. And so I've been kind of doing this, and I'm finding out I come up really short of having the same faith that the disciples had. I find I don't really want to go out and preach the coming of Christ and preach the truth to people when they're going to mock me and make fun of me and beat on me. I tried to share the Sabbath with some people, and they made fun of me. Tried to share the state of the dead with people, and they made fun of me. I don't want to go through that anymore. They don't want to accept what I want to give them, and they're going to make fun of me and put me down. Then I don't want to continue doing it. That's just me. So that tells me I don't have a lot of faith because I don't have a conviction. I'm not convicted of the truth. And if I'm convicted of the truth, then the truth is that as we had some people up here, they're learning to be make disciples and learn to be disciples. The truth is God asked us to go out and make disciples. So if I'm not convicted to go out and make disciples, then I take that I don't have a lot of faith. Because faith is a conviction of the truth. And if I'm convicted of the truth, then I'm going to do it. Unless somebody sees it another way. And then, so do I need to go to Jesus, who is the author, like in Hebrews 12:2? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So am I allowing Jesus to come into me and to give me faith and to finish that? Again, like in James, as for the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So if I'm not convicted to do the things God has asked me to do, then does that mean my faith is dead? Although I think I do a pretty good job of warming the bench here in the church. That's one thing God says we should go to church and gather together so I can congratulate myself and pat myself on the back because I think I do a good job of keeping the pew warm, as I said on it. So can I take credit then for having a little bit of faith? Because I am convicted I should come to church. Revelation, I've talked about this before, Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints, and here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So what's the faith of Jesus? If we see what faith is by the works that are done, then we can look at Jesus and see what his faith is. Right? And we know that the works aren't all of it. You've got to have love in there. So where did Jesus show us what love was? The Bible says, what does the Bible say about love? It says, there's no greater love than this, that a man give his life for his friends. I look at Jesus, and it's one of the things that I hear all the time. Jesus died on the cross for you and me. So that's love. He died on the cross. We also said that, show me your works, and I'll show you my faith. What was the works did? Jesus said, I come here on earth to do this. So it's saying that when he went to the cross, that was the works that he came here to do. So the ultimate testimony of faith is Jesus Christ dying on the cross. The ultimate fulfillment and the most ultimate works of faith is dying on the cross. Have you ever looked at the cross as a work of faith? Because Christ had a conviction. He was convicted to come here and save our souls. He was convicted to help us, to give us an opportunity to live a life of an eternity, to have our names put on the book of life. And if he hadn't done that, we wouldn't have an opportunity to have our names put on the book of life. His faith or his conviction to save our souls was done in love on the cross. There's other places in the Bible that it says that we should give our bodies as a living sacrifice. For what? He asked us to go save souls. So we should be willing to give our bodies as a living sacrifice to save the souls of those that aren't here. And we should be willing to go and preach the gospel even though people mock us and put us down. And I fall short. I don't have that much in me. I don't know about the rest. I know there are some people, you look at their works. We have people who do a beautiful job of bringing music to us. There's special music and regular music and the songs. That's their faith. They show their faith by the works, by presenting music to us on a regular basis. We have people who show their faith by bringing not just one or two dishes to potluck, but bringing three or four or five dishes to potluck so that people here can have a meal after church. We have people that show their faith by preparing that food and by coming early to decorate the tables and to stay afterwards and clean the kitchen up after potluck. We have people that show their faith by keeping the lawn mowed, by keeping the lights on, by keeping the radio station going. We have people that show their faith by cleaning up the aisles after everybody leaves and they come through and pick up the trash that some of us leave in the pews. They have people that show their faith by coming and cleaning stuff. I show my faith by keeping the pew warm. What about you? So that's the reason I'm not up here preaching. That's the reason I'm sitting here. Because I can't stand up here and say that I know everything that I should know about faith. It says to get faith, where it's given to us by God, and it also says that by reading the Word, by hearing the Word and reading the Word. So I figure if I want to increase my faith, I'm going to have to get into the Word a whole lot more. Because the Word is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ does give us. So I can't separate the Word and separate Jesus Christ. So I need to get into the Word. And I feel, and we're looking at Christ, it says, He's the bride and we're the bride and He's the groom. In other words, it's a marriage deal. And I think, in a marriage, who's the first person I see in the morning? My bride. Who's the last person I see before I go to sleep? My bride. I thought, well, that's a good thing to think. So maybe I should be looking at in the Word the first thing in the morning to see the person I'm going to be married to. And maybe I should, when I get up, should be the first person I look and see. So maybe I should be in the Word in the morning and in the evening. I don't know about the rest of you and how serious you are, but I just thought that would be a good thing. And I had a person once told me, he said, I throw my shoes underneath my bed, and I asked him why. He said, well, because when I'm down there looking for my shoes, it reminds me that since I'm now already on my knees, I might as well talk to Jesus. And that's before he gets his shoes on. And he uses his shoes as a reminder to talk to Jesus. And I'm sitting here wondering, I'm not sure, maybe I should use my idea that thinking that the time's short and Christ is going to come as a motivation for me to start talking to Jesus more. And how do you talk to Jesus? How do you listen to what Jesus says? He's got everything that he wants to tell us right here in the book. He's told us everything he wants us to know. And I don't know half of what he has to say in here. I've read it through it. My wife and I have read through this several times in our lifetime since we've been together. But I still don't understand. It's just like what I'm sharing with you right now. I don't know that much about faith. I'm just now starting to learn about it. I'm just now starting to pay attention to it. And I'm just sharing with you some of the things that the Bible shared with me. That God has shared with me on it. I gotta get something to drink. Dry. I'm gonna make a public stand and ask Jesus to come into my life and to finish the work of faith in me so that I will be able to do like some of the other people and say, look at my works so that you can see my faith. Because I really don't think I can do that right now. But I'm going to ask Jesus to come into my life and give me the faith that I need so that I can do the works that he has asked me to do. And I want to give anybody else in here an opportunity, if you want to join me in that prayer, if you want to make a stand now to join me in with that, I'll give you an opportunity to stand with me as I make that prayer. So if you want to stand and in joining me with this prayer of asking God to work in my life. If you don't want to, that's fine. You got to come up here. You just want everybody to see how handsome you are, right? Tell you, Father, I come before you and standing here making a confession of my short, how I fall short. I come. The other people are standing, and we come to make a stand, to stand for you. And the only way we can do that is for you to fill us with the Holy Spirit, for us to empty ourselves of ourselves, and for you to fill that emptiness with thy Spirit. And for Christ, through the Spirit, come into us, change our hearts, change our minds, change the very essence of who we are into the people that you want us to be. And we thank you for hearing our prayers. And we know that Jesus said that as he is like-minded with you, that he wants his followers to be like-minded with us. And we ask that you answer his prayer and that we will be the participants of that prayer, that we will be like-minded as Christ, who have a conviction to save souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We have a closing song.
Let's close the sermon today with hymn 518. There is nothing more reassuring than God's love.
Ask you again to send your Spirit to fill our hearts and guide us on the direction you want us to go and give us the courage to do the things you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.